The cyclone that slammed into Myanmar nearly 2 months ago was an especially lethal one. The Burmese military government says about 138,000 people are dead or missing. Those numbers are in keeping with estimates made by the International Red Cross last month. It's a human tragedy, but as Simon Montlake reports, information is now emerging that it may not have been as catastrophic as first feared.
Criminal neglect. That's how U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates described the response of Myanmar's military rulers to the cyclone that tore a path of destruction through its southern delta. 4 weeks after the storm, Gates warned that more people would die if the generals didn't open up to more international aid. But was that true? An international assessment team recently spent 10 days in the affected area, traveling by helicopter, car, boat, and on foot. What they found was that almost every village had received some kind of aid, though not necessarily from foreign agencies. It seems that there was no second wave of death from diseases like cholera or starvation. And the survivors did just that, survive with whatever food and shelter they could get.
What happened in this case was the amazing response from the local people themselves.
Melanie Brooks works for CARE, a humanitarian relief group.
They are amazing, and I've seen this after many different disasters. People will rally together and help each other out.
Large-scale international aid was slow to arrive on the scene due to the regime's suspicions of foreigners, but Myanmar citizens loaded up their cars and drove to the delta. Businessmen, Buddhist monks, and doctors. It was haphazard, but it counted during the crucial early days. Melanie Brooks.
We weren't hearing about much of this because there was no coordinating information body that was telling the world what all of these small groups across the country were doing. But this is one of the things that were plugging the gaps across the delta while the bigger response was being launched.
That bigger response is what got all the headlines. The tug of war between Western governments and Myanmar's generals. The refusal to issue humanitarian visas. The ban on foreigners in the disaster zone. But already relief agencies inside Myanmar had swung into action as donations began pouring in. The world was more focused, though, on the aid that wasn't arriving. Andrew Kirkwood, country director of Save the Children, saw a different picture.
It was incredibly frustrating in the early days and weeks when the media and many others were focused on the access of international staff into the Delta. All assistance to date, essentially, has been delivered by Myanmar people, for Myanmar people. Some of those people have been working for the government, some have been working for local groups, some have been working for international NGOs and the UN. But the assistance has been delivered by Myanmar people.
So the regime's restrictions may not have caused a second calamity, but there's plenty of hardship and suffering, according to the preliminary findings of the international team. Many people in the delta are living day to day on food handouts. Their rice fields are washed out, their fishing boats destroyed. One in five are suffering psychological trauma. And, says Benjamin Zawaki, a researcher for Amnesty International, we should not forget that it was Myanmar's military that kept the world in the dark for so long about conditions in the delta. This allowed many aid agencies and politicians to fear the worst. Zawaki is scathing about the regime.
Their obstruction, their negligence, their unwillingness and inability to provide for their own people as well as to allow international assistance quickly enough, even if the situation now isn't as bad as we thought it might be, it's certainly far worse than it would have been had they opened up the country expeditiously as they should have done.
The full findings of the assessment team will be out early next month. The United Nations will be using it to ask international donors to dig deep for Myanmar. For the world, this is Simon Montlake in Bangkok.